Ladies and gentlemen, rev up your engines and get ready for the deal of a lifetime. Jim K. Ford is proud to announce the 2023 Ford F-150 Clear Out Sale, the event you've been waiting for. For a limited time only, Jim K. Ford is offering unbeatable discounts, jaw-dropping financing options, and mind-blowing trade-in deals. Don't miss out on the 2023 Ford F-150 Clear Out Sale at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln,
we say yes!
Yeah, time for your weekly shout-outs for the SWP. Thanks to our Patreon members, the legends. Yes, sir. The project managers, Bill Grease, Henry Backer, Jimmy Fata, Tony Zane, G-Money, and Marcus Von B. Also want to give a shout-out to Mr. P66, Andre Rivard, Dave Jansen, and Joel Luchuk.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode. Thanks so much for being here. It is the NHL All-Star break, the week before the Super Bowl. So we've given Jimmy the week off. He's got some family issues on the go, and we certainly wish him well with that. He's going to be back for our next episode. Today, though, we're joined on the SWP by one of hockey's great personalities, Doug McLean. Longtime NHL head coach and executive. He was at Sportsnet as a broadcaster for a long time, and now he's got a new book called Draft Day, How Hockey Teams Pick Winners or Get Left Behind. In our conversation today, we had all kinds of good discussions about the many Ottawa hockey connections that he's got, but we began by asking Doug if his broadcasting days are behind him and what made him decide at this point to write a book.
You know what, I retired, obviously, from Sportsnet, and you know, 3 or so years ago, and I got a call a couple of weeks after I left Sportsnet from Simon & Schuster asking if I'd be interested in doing a book, and I said no, I'm not. You know, I didn't want to do a book about myself, to be quite honest, because I don't know, not enough there. So they said, no, we really, let's talk about what we'd like. So they said, look, we're looking for a similar situation to Moneyball and baseball, you know, a book about the draft and, you know, can we tie analytics to it? Can we just look at the draft? And that's really intrigued me because the draft, you know, in my 24 years in the NHL, the draft was always a important week, an important time, and really a big part of your total year. So it kind of intrigued me, and I thought, okay, that's interesting. So as it moved along, and then Scott Morrison joined me as a ghostwriter, you know, we spent 3 years working on it. So it was a fun project with Scott, a good friend of mine, and a great writer. And so we, you know, but anyway, a funny story. I sent him the first 6 chapters that I wrote on my iPad, and just sitting by the pool here in Florida or on the beach, and I just, you know, writing out stuff after I'd made an outline out and listed sort of the chapters I wanted to do. So I send it to him, and it comes out 25,000 words, and it's one straight line, no paragraphs. So he said, like, he sends me a note. He said, like, do you not use paragraphs when you write? And I phoned my daughter. I said, what the hell's going on here? I put it in paragraphs. She said, Dad, you got to change the setting on your iPad so it goes in paragraphs. So Scott didn't know what he was in for. But anyway, we had a ball doing it, you know, and I'm kind of excited to see that it's doing well. So hopefully they'll keep up.
It may not have done so well if it was all one big paragraph, but
no,
that's
Scott,
funny.
Scott put it into English really nicely for me, you know.
That's great. Now, do you have any desire to get back into broadcasting or the NHL? Like here in Ottawa, Jacques Martin just came back. He's 71 years old.
Well, you know, it's funny. I sent a tweet out last night, excited to see my old mentor. My first job in the NHL in 1987, I was coaching at the University of New Brunswick. My dream job, I was teaching and coaching at the university just a year after I finished my master's at Western. I'd gone and left high school teaching and went back to PEI, 7 years of teaching high school, and I went back to Western to do my master's with the hope I'd get a college coaching job. So I ended up getting a UNB job, and I was teaching a little bit and coaching the hockey team there. And Jacques Martin offered me assistant coaching job with St. Louis in 1987. Wow. So it was my first job to get to spend 2 years with Jacques. And, you know, I mean, if it's not for Jacques, I probably don't have an NHL career. So I was thrilled to see him get back in and to, you know, sort of lend a helping hand to the Sens. So it was kind of a cool thing this week to see that happen for him. I do show every Friday with Kyprios and Bourne there on their show on Sportsnet. So I do a half hour every Friday, just as basically a segment called Off the Rails. So I have no desire to get back in full time. I'm enjoying retirement, and I do a ton of real estate stuff in PEI. We've built a 64 unit apartment building there. I've got two or three subdivisions going, and we're just in the process of building another 60 unit apartment building next to the other one. So I've really been busy with real estate and enjoying it. It was always a hobby, and now it's sort of a great hobby to have for me and keeps me occupied. So I'm having fun. I mean, I follow the NHL really close, and my son's an agent in Chicago, so that I talk to him on a daily basis. So, you know, I've got lots going on.
That's great. One of my best friends is a Summerside guy, and he talked about, you're in Shelton now, is that correct?
Yeah, Shelton Beach is just outside, 12 miles outside of Summerside. Actually, I just got back from PEI. I was there. I flew in Tuesday, and we did a major fundraiser for the junior hockey team there and the girls hockey team and also the midget team. So we did a big fundraiser on Wednesday night, and we sold it out, and it was a hot stove about the book. And also I got Gerard to come in, Glenn. We both did a hot stove. So we had a ball, and it was a great crowd. Raised a lot of money for those charities. Those teams, so we're really pleased. So I just got home last night. So PEI's special place. I spend 4.5 months there every summer, and the other 7 months were down here in Florida.
Yeah, what is it? I mean, we all have hometowns, but you know, you famously really love PEI. Like, what is it about PEI that kind of has gotten into your bones?
I don't know. I think I born there, brought up, and you know, my mom and dad were great people that did lots for people. And I've always really, really enjoyed it. It's funny, you know, I've been married 47 years now.
Nice.
And we've spent every summer of those 40, my wife's from Brockville, Ontario. I met her in high school when I was playing in Brockville, and we've spent every summer in PEI, and our kids sort of, because you know, when you're in the NHL, need a base. You need a home base, and PEI became our summer home base. And our kids had some of their best friends are still the kids they met playing baseball and soccer and hockey schools and PEI. And it just we just love it there in the summer. And it just, you know, it's just a natural thing. That's nothing other than just I really enjoy the people, and I enjoy it. And the PEI people have been unbelievably good to me, really good to me through my whole career. And I was lucky to be able to bring the Florida Panthers there for training camp 1 year, and I brought the Blue Jackets there for training camp 1 year. So, you know, it's always been a sort of a great relationship for me and PEI.
And I love the connections of the sport of hockey. I mean, you mentioned, we talked about Jacques Martin, Gerard Gallant, right? I'm sure you and Gerard don't have to buy beers very often when you're out there. And then I think about, you know, a guy like Brian Murray, who's so special to the city of Ottawa here. That must be a guy that, you know, time in Detroit, that must be a guy that, as you look back, that you have a lot of respect for. Like, what are your memories of Brian and maybe tie in the draft day scenario as well? Like, how did he usually do on draft day?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You know, I talked about, you know, Doc giving me a great opportunity, but I met Brian Murray when I was playing for the Brockville Braves, and I was playing in the Central Junior All-Star game, which was held in Pembroke, and Brian was the All-Star coach. And I met him as a player to the All-Star coach and spent the weekend there. We played the Sudbury Wolves in a game. I ended up sort of thinking, my God, Sky is a great coach. I mean, it was a weekend with him, and I just loved how he communicated with the players and how he described the systems on the board. And I thought, well, this guy is so good, so good. So then I don't think much of it, and all of a sudden I end up going to St. Louis Blues training camp, and out of the blue I get a call from Hockey Canada saying that I had been recommended for a Hockey Canada scholarship. And in those days, you had a full four-year ride at any university in Canada. And I said, how did I get this? And they said, Brian Murray recommended you for this scholarship. And I thought, oh, my God. And I was like 19. I'd quit school. I was playing with the Junior Canadians in Montreal and ended up going to Brockton. I quit school, and I was working as a bricklayer assistant, carpenter's assistant. And I was sort of a bit of a lost guy at the time. And so all of a sudden, we talked my way into getting into grade 12 on trial in Brockville, and Ryan doing this for me and getting a scholarship. So I ended up seeing him in Charlottetown when he was with Rockland. And then I woke up, introduced myself to him. We had a great chat. Then I run into him at Montreal at the draft when I was coaching UNB. And then after Jacques and I got fired in St. Louis, I get a call from Brian Murray, offered me a job in Washington to go as an assistant coach. So, like, how bizarre. And I met Jock through working hockey schools in Brockville. So how bizarre is the relationship between me and Jock and Brian Murray? And Brian, you know, Jock gave me my first chance to be in the NHL, and Brian Murray made my career. I mean, listen, but it's not for Brian Murray. I don't have a career. I mean, he gave me the job in Washington, and I went to Detroit with him for 5 years. And then I, you know, was his head coach in Florida. So, I mean, he made my career. And I talked a lot about it in the book, about what Brian meant to me and my career. And, you know, I was at his funeral in Shawville. I mean, I used to go up to Shawville with him and visit all the boys, all his buddies up there. So Brian Murray is, always been a very special guy, you know.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about the draft from the perspective of you chose to write about it. So I have to think you're either fascinated by it or you love the draft process, but you've done everything in the sport of hockey, whether it's leadership or the teaching of a coach and across the board. Where does the draft rank in terms of your favorite things about the game?
Well, it's funny, when I was applying for the general manager and president's job in Columbus, I was preparing, you know, information to present to them when I was looking for the job. And a friend of mine that worked with me in Detroit, Bob Strum, who actually, his son actually is a scout at the Senators right now. And Bob was a GM in Regina in the Western League. And then he was with us in Detroit for a short time. And we got into the history of the draft. And he said, Doug, he went back to 1990, and every Stanley Cup winner from 1990 all the way through to recent Stanley Cup winner had at least 10 of their own draft pick on their team.
Wow.
And I'm thinking that's how important the draft is. The St. Louis Blues, who won their first Stanley Cup a few years ago here, first time they had 10 draft picks on their team in their history of a franchise. And I just sort of think, wow, the history's there. You think that the Red Wings, when they won, with 12 and 14 draft picks of their own, and the New Jersey Devils with draft picks of their own, and then LA Kings with 11 or 12 draft picks when they won, and Chicago Blackhawks with 11 and 12 draft picks when they won. So it just intrigued me that it's that important. Now, Vegas broke the trend. They won the Stanley Cup with 5 draft picks on their team, but they did have a bunch of first-round picks that they had traded for, Eichel and Pietrangelo and on and on and on. So it just shows that draft is a critical part franchise. And, you know, it takes time for those draft picks to mature and become players. I mean, Ottawa's going through that right now with the great young talent, but it takes time, you know. So that's what really intrigued me about the draft. And obviously, you know, as a GM, it's what you're judged on. And I mean, that's one of my biggest frustrations, you know, in Columbus as late picks as a franchise. And our first season in Columbus, where we had 71 points and finished ahead of Minnesota, we pick 8th in the draft. Like, how stupid was I? Like, what was I thinking about? You know, as Brian Burke said to me, Doug, when I got the job in Columbus, it's easy, man. You just finish last every year, the first 5 years. You get all high picks, and you have a good team. And I wasn't dumb enough to follow his advice. And my owner wanted us to win right away, and he did. He thought I was running a Pee-wee Triple-A team, quite honest. But anyway.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, I think about Ottawa here. I mean, a lot of that great young core they have, it's like you can look at it and say, okay, that's some great drafting and the rebuild and stuff. But, yeah, but you also had, you know, Stützle was a top five. Kachuk's a top five. Jake Sanderson's a top five. Like, the art of the draft is really, you know, late in the first round and into the second round, finding the diamonds in the rough, right?
Well, it is too. But you know what? I look back at mine, and I had the fifth pick in the Sid Crosby draft, you know, this has plagued me my entire career, and I still get ripped in Columbus over this. So I go into that draft. We scouted Don Boyd, who was my director of amateur. He's with the Sens. He's been with the Sens for a long time now. And we go into that draft, and our decision was Brule from Vancouver or Kopitar. That was our decision. Brule was the Sid Crosby of the West. He was so good. He was going to be the next Steve Yzerman. I followed him in the West a lot, avoiding our Western guys. We went to our scouting meetings, and our Western guys pound the table. They wanted Brule, and Boydie wanted Kopitar. And we did our final list, and it was Kopitar 5. That was our list. And I go into the draft, and I was 100% convinced that Montreal were taking Brule at 5. I really was. We had him rated 22nd on our list, Carey Price. And most teams had Carey Price in the ground. And Montreal stepped up and took Carey Price 5th. And I thought, oh, my God. Now I got this major decision. And I said, I was having trouble with Jaredev as a Russian. I said, how do I take a Slovenian over a Canadian kid? And I took Brule, and it was my call. And Kip Dale said to me on the show here a few months ago, he said, it cost you to take Brule over Kopitar? And I said, probably personally about $30 million. Because I would have taken Kopitar, I'd probably still be a GM. But you know what? Kopitar went 11th in that draft. So Brian Murray picked after me. He took Jack Skelly. Brian Murray picked after us. He took Brian Lee. And it went on and on and on. And Kopitar goes 11. But everybody in Columbus is still pissed off at me for not taking Kopitar. And I don't blame them, you know?
Well, I mean, it is a crapshoot, though. Even, you know, it is. I think about, let me ask you the question. Then, like, using him as an example, Gilbert Brule, like, what goes wrong? Because, I mean, it looks like a can't-miss prospect. He's got all the tools. But the NHL history is filled with those types of stories, like Alexander Daig here in Ottawa, Doug Wickenheiser back in the day. These are number one overall, and they're still blowing up in people's faces. So as you see things happen, like what happens to these kids between being 18 years old and on top of the world to being 5 years down the road, somebody that no one in the NHL wants anymore?
Yeah. You know what? It was a sad case for Gilbert. He came in, and in training camp the first year, he fractured his sternum, and he played. And I think he might have had 9 or 10 goals the first year. You know, I thought, okay, he looks really good. He did that. Then he broke his leg the next year, and then he had a concussion. I sent him back to junior after training camp the first year, and back to Vancouver. I went to Moncton in the Memorial Cup and watched him a year after we drafted him. And everybody at the Memorial Cup was coming up to me. Oh my God, you got a star, Doug. This guy is going to be so good. He was absolutely dynamite in Moncton for Vancouver. He's MVP, the Memorial Cup. He was just he looked like a star. And then he came back to camp the next year. That's when he broke his leg. And then he had concussion problems. And, you know, his parents, there was some issues there. And I knew that going in. I still hear from Gilbert Barry. You know, he's a fine kid. And I'll never forget at the draft. I'll never forget this as long as I live. the genius Pierre Maguire was doing TSN at the time. And Montreal step up and take Carey Price. And I remember Pierre Dorion leaning over. Pierre was the director of amateur scouting for Montreal at the time, leaning over, and he said, "We're taking the goalie." I thought, "Oh no, what are they?" And Maguire goes ballistic on TSN, which he was broadcasting the draft, saying, "I can't believe Montreal would do this to their fan base. I can't. They've got UA and they got this guy. Why would they ever take this? This is a pick from on, you know, just sure pick," and ripping Montreal. Then 3 years ago, I listened to him on Ottawa radio ripping me for taking Brulé. You know, and I thought, "Oh, okay, so that's just life." But you know what? The book is full of these type of scenarios throughout the draft. You know, I got a great story in there. John Ferguson Sr., who was a great scout builder of the Ottawa Senators originally, he was a director of scouting for San Jose. And he goes into the draft, the Joe Thornton draft, and he wanted Olli Jokinen so bad, second pick of that draft. Boston had the first pick. San Jose had the second pick. And he wanted, LA had the third pick. He wanted Olli Jokinen so bad. So the night he's at the World Championships in Finland, he's at the Hesperia Hotel with his staff. And at 2:30 in the morning, they're having a few pops there. And Fergie looks out and he sees Olli Jokinen on the dance floor the night before a game, dancing it out. Fergie walks over to him and tells him, "Hey, kid, you should be home." And the kid tells Fergie that, "Bob."
Ooh.
Fergie, lucky he's still alive, as you know, Fergie, but to say the least. But Fergie was back in his staff and said, "We are not taking Olli Jokinen. We are not touching Olli Jokinen. We're going to go to our next selection and take him instead. I wanted Jokinen, but we're going to settle for this guy at number two, and we're taking Marleau."
That worked out nice.
It's funny how it goes, how it works out, you know? Yeah. And so the book is littered with those types of stories. And I guess for Fergie's sake, it was a great pickup. But no, I guess it's like him picking up Daniel Alfredson for the Sens in, what, the seventh round? So
yeah.
Anyway, I mean, that's what the book is all about, the crapshoot of the draft. And, you know, some teams just have great drafts, unbelievable drafts. Some of them get lucky, some of them are by accident, but that's sort of the gist of the book, to be quite honest.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Ottawa area, I recommend the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. Glenn helped our family sell a home a few years ago. He set aside a budget to help us out with painting, cleaning, and even updating our ceiling lights for us. We got multiple offers, and the home sold for well over asking price. Call the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team today at glennwalton.com. I want to ask you about draft day and what's going on there, because I don't think the fans have any idea. They see all these guys in suits around tables. They got the placard, the logo, all that, but they're not really sure what's happening. How does it all play out? Like, what is draft day like? How much does a GM actually defer to the scouts on draft day? Like, what kind of stuff is going on draft day?
Well, you know, it's a accumulation of an entire year's work and $2 to $3 million worth of cost when you have your scouts from all over the world putting the list together, the list that you do prior to the draft, your last scouting meeting in April, a list that typically has 100 players on it that you go into the draft with. So it's a total year's work of guys that you have, as a GM, you have so much respect for, because they run all over the world looking for players for you. And they're the best group on your staff, because they're real hockey guys, you know.
Yeah.
And watching them as a GM putting their list together and how fine tuned it is and how much effort goes into it. And they are the ones that make picks. Don't ever kid yourself. We take the heat for the picks as a GM, and you should, because you're the boss. We would typically see the first round or two. You'd typically see those in prospect games, or you'd go with a chief scout and watch, and you know, but you always went with your, it really was that. And that was what the draft was, although it was sitting at that table and going through that 100-man list, and the next guy up was the guy you typically would take. It does change every once in a while. Now, certain GMs are more engaged in it. Ottawa, Pierre was a scout, so he probably was a little bit more engaged. But I'm telling you, it's a lot of BS when they think GMs are making these picks, because they're not. And that's just the way it is. So it's the draft day is one of the highlights of the year, and it's a highlight for the scouts. And I got one funny story. I hate watching what went on in the stands with the kids that are sitting there and not being drafted. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, sitting at the draft table, we're going into the seventh round. And I said, and I did this story in my book, I said, that's Rick Bonus sitting over there in the stands, and he's with his son. And tell me about his son. And they said, that's Ryan Bonus, Rick's son, played in Brampton, major junior. I said, is he a player? And I watched him go through seven and not be picked. And I thought, so I said to my guys, I'm taking the seventh pick. I'm using it. I'm picking. And I said, does he have a chance to be an NHL? They said, hey, he's a character kid. He's a battler. He works hard. And I thought, I'd known Rick from junior and from Halifax. I said, I'm taking Ryan Bonus with their seventh pick. And we drafted Ryan, and Rick still reminds me of that, as does Ryan. And I'm really proud of the fact he played a little bit in the minors, went back to St. Mary's, got his degree, and now he's an assistant GM in the NHL. So he didn't make it as a player, but he certainly made it in the business and the hockey side of things. So that was one of my favorite picks in the draft.
Was there one you were especially proud of that just really bloomed into a star player in the league?
You know what, I took Adam McQuaid in the second pick in the Ottawa draft. Adam was a PEI guy that really ended up having a really good career with the Bruins. You know, I took Chris Russell in the third round. Mark Mathot was a seventh round pick of ours, who had a really good career and a great kid and a good player. So we had all kinds of those types of guys. Steve Mason, the winner as a goaltender, took in the third round. So, you know, Rick Nash was obviously the one I'm most known for, is when we moved up in the draft, and there's a chapter on him in there. And so there's all kinds of guys that really had good careers that were later picks that I'm pretty proud of.
Very nice.
I watched Mark Mathot on TV last night, and that was what I was thinking when I asked the Hunters with Don Boyd. I said, tell me about this Mark Mathot. And they said, this guy's going to play in the NHL. And I watched him at the Royal Cup in London go head-to-head with Sidney Crosby every shift of that Memorial Cup. And Mark Mathot went on to have a really good, solid NHL career. So, you know, those are the great stories. And I talked about them quite a bit in the book.
That's great. Anything else before we wrap up? Is there anything else you want, like, our readers to know about the book? I just want to make sure I've covered all your bases.
You know what? I think if you're interested in the draft and a hockey fan, it really tells you how all the things are done and how it really works behind the scenes. And I think there's lots of really good stories. And it, you know, if you're not a hockey nerd, you might like it from a management point of view, and you know, the firing of coaches and the hiring of coaches and all that sort of thing. But most people. If you take melatonin to sleep at night, you don't have to take melatonin. For some people, this will put you to sleep.
All right, there goes Doug McLean, our pinch hitter for Jimmy this week. He'll return in our next episode. Look for Doug's new book at Amazon, Draft Day, How Hockey Teams Pick Winners or Get Left Behind. I think we can all think of a few winners and losers for our NHL teams, no matter who you cheer for. That is it for this week's SWP. I want to thank Jim K. Ford, the Glenn Walton Real Estate team, all you Patreon members, to you for joining us today, and we'll talk to you in our next episode.